Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
So, okay, so...
Big crowd? What kind of crowd?
About 1,000 people.
Whoa!
Wow!
Yeah.
Where? Whoa!
Where?
At the Doubletree in Arlington.
Yeah. Doubletree, and that's where they give the cookies, the chocolate chip cookies, right? Isn't that, don't you get, when you check in, you get a chocolate chip.
What a senior citizen remark that was.
You do, you get the cooks. Free cookies.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Alrighty then, plausibly live from an as-yet-undisclosed third-floor location in Chevy Chase, Maryland. We're on the air with Chris Saliza and Gary Braun and Michael Kornheiser back from his trip to South Carolina. Nigel is running the board and will do news. Michael Wilbon may or may not join us later in the show. I just want to do a little bit of business at the top for Chad's just to say this, all right? And then I'll get out because I know there's a lot of people out there who think that this is simply an infomercial for Chad's, which is why I didn't mention it at all last week. In any case, trivia is tonight. I always pump trivia. Trivia is nice. Monday night is trivia.
7:30, right?
Yes, 7:30. And more important, at the corner of...
Get there before 7 if you want a table.
Yeah, Wisconsin and Jennifer, at the corner of Wisconsin and Jennifer. More important, this is the... All our TVs are up and running. We got 10 or 12 TVs now. This is conference tournament
week.
Yes. So make your plans to go there to watch the Big Ten, to watch the Big East, to watch the ACC, to watch the Atlantic. Whatever you want to watch... We got TVs. We've got the meats.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Love it. Got the meats.
Speaking of college basketball, four teams already in. Florida Gulf Coast, I know that's painful.
Why do we have...
It's just one of the teams that's in.
Can't we just note it?
Florida, I'm noting it.
Congratulations, jerks.
He's noting it.
Florida, I watched that game.
It's not going to be an issue for Georgetown this year. Don't worry about it.
No, they're not in. Florida Gulf Coast is in. They arrived on the scene a few years back. Their coach, Andy Enfield, who became very, very popular because he had married a supermodel.
Correct. Hottie.
And then he got the USC job where he's done nothing,
zero.
But this year might get in.
They're starting to surge a little bit.
They might get in. All right. Wichita State, which is always in and deservedly so.
And that game, I watched a bunch of that game because Illinois State is good too. I would assume they'll get in.
Yeah, they should be in too. Wichita State is always in. The coach at Wichita State, Greg Marshall, has done a spectacular job at Wichita State for years, and you say to yourself in the back of your mind, if you're a sports person, you go, was there something wrong with him that he hasn't gotten one of the top 10 jobs in America because he's been that good? So, or maybe he doesn't want to leave. But he's a Southern guy. He's not a Midwestern guy.
I thought after they went to the Final Four, he turned down a job or two.
He may have.
And they paid him.
He may have.
But yeah, you would think,
you don't know,
given his successes.
Winthrop, which gets in a lot from the Big South, yeah. Winthrop is in again. Winthrop has won games in the tournament. And something called Jacksonville State, and I am unfamiliar with Jacksonville State. I assume it's Jacksonville, Florida, but it may not be.
It's their first time ever in the NCAA tournament.
Now, aren't they from a conference in the Midwest? Can you look this up, yeah. Gary?
Sure.
Aren't they from like an Ohio conference, which is why I wonder, is it Jacksonville, Florida? I don't know.
I don't know any other Jacksonvilles.
There must be some.
I mean,
I would think,
Jacksonville State and Jacksonville, Alabama. In the Ohio Valley Conference.
In the Ohio Valley Conference.
Right.
Well, so I mean, if Creighton can be in the Big East.
Yeah. So I don't know anything about them, you know, via con Dios. The big conference teams will dominate, and you'll see them all this week as they sort of jockey sort of kind of for position. The ACC may get 10 in. Maryland closed locally. Maryland closed either number 2 or number 3 in the Big Ten.
They were 3, Tony.
Georgetown is...
And as a public service to those listening locally in the D.C. metro area, I believe they play like a 9 p tip on Friday. The Terps, they have that double bye. And then they play.
So go see them at Chad's.
So, yes. Because it's way too late. It's way too late.
Yeah, then you get home early. Don't have to deal with traffic.
Georgetown update.
Yeah.
We lost by a nifty 26 at home.
To Villanova.
To two guys who are from D.C., Chris Jenkins and Josh Hart, and went to D.C. schools.
Yes.
So that was sort of a dagger. And they will play in the first round of the tournament.
They're playing who?
Top matchup. 7 p.m. on March 8th. That will be St. John's and Georgetown.
Ghost programs.
Ghosts of programs past.
Ghost programs. Okay, let me...
30 years ago, big
now,
game.
I'm going to do something...
Chris Mullin and Bill Wedding.
Yeah, I'm going to do something local, and I apologize for this, but it's not only is it local, but it's a big news story. It's a big news story because if you were in Washington and you picked up the paper yesterday, you would have found no mention of this. None. Because it must have happened late at night on Saturday night. And it was sort of stunning to me. It is the announcement of a two-year extension for Jay Gruden as the head coach of the Washington Redskins. This ranks for me with another crazy, out-of-nowhere announcement in the middle of the winter for no reason at all some years back when the owner announced and forced the coach, Jay Gruden, to announce that Robert Griffin III would be his starting quarterback, even though Jay Gruden hated Robert Griffin and didn't want him, not only not to be the starting quarterback, didn't want him on the team. It didn't really matter because Griffin got hurt and he was outplayed. And so that led to what is euphemistically referred to as the Kirk Cousins era, which is characterized by the fact that the Washington Redskins are held hostage by Cousins and are forced to pay him more money than he ought to get because they won't pay him what he should get. And so it just keeps costing them more and more and more money. And you ask yourself, well, why would the Redskins extend Jay Gruden? There's some background here that you need to know. Jay Gruden is going into the fourth year of a five-year deal. Dan Snyder, the owner of the Washington Redskins, has never, in all the years that he's owned the team, close to 20, allowed a coach to go 5 years.
18 years, no coaches' extensions. That was stunning.
Not going 5 years. So they extend him amid sort of the cacophony of insanity on this particular team, where there is a general manager who, if he is to be believed and the team is to be believed, is so undone by the death of his 100-year-old grandmother
a month ago
that he cannot show up at the combine, which is the only reason to have a general manager. Or else you could have a robot. Only the combine to see people in person, in the flesh, and decide what you're going to do to draft or not draft them. And also the continuing backdrop of Kirk Cousins, who is being franchised because he refuses to sign a contract with you, no matter what your offer is. And my guess is you could offer him more than he deserves, and he would say no, because I think he wants to see who else will offer him even more. So amid the general dysfunction of the Washington Redskins, they announce in the middle of the night, or they don't even announce. It's leaked or it's reported in the middle of the night. There is no press conference the next day. There is nothing so far. There is radio silence so far that Jay Gruden, whose career record was what? It isn't very good.
21-26-1.
21-26-1. Not exactly sterling, okay? Not sterling, is getting a two-year extension.
Well, he is 19-21-1 with Kirk Cousins as the starter.
Solid. Gary's doing PR.
Let's start with this, Gary.
Spin it a little.
Why would they do? And by the way, there's one piece today saying that it shows that they have stability, which is utterly insane.
That's the attempt.
Another piece today by Barry Zerluga that's, I believe, quite good.
All right, so a lot to unpack here. First of all, I didn't hear this news and think, what? Why are they extending him? I mean, it's reasonable to give a guy at this state of that contract an extension. I don't know why you would do it now. I think if you believe in him at the culmination of the prior season, as difficult as it would be after that heartbreaking loss to the Giants that would have put them in the playoffs, you say, you know what? We just had two winning seasons in a row for the first time in a quarter century or whatever it's been, 20 years, I guess, since North Turner was here. And we're going to lock this guy up and presumably, as we go to sign free agents, as we try to retain Kirk, as we look for a new defensive coordinator, which you know you're going to do, having that stability, because in that case you are providing some stability,
they
would
help.
They
have a defensive coordinator.
No, I'm saying if they had done it after the season.
Okay, right.
Okay, because remember, the defensive coordinator search was sort of a disaster.
Yeah, nobody wanted that.
And maybe the fact that you had potentially a lame duck coach coming up could have contributed to that.
Which Verlugo accurately wrote at the time.
So had they extended Gruden then, I'm not scratching my head at all. Now, to do it now just seems like a fake sort of PR move, like you're trying to throw a bone to Mike McCartney. Now, say this, and this is why it's stupid, because if I'm Mike McCartney, if I'm Kirk Cousins' agent, here's the one question I have about that. Oh, that's good. You extended him. Let me ask you a question. The first year of that extension, are you paying him less than you paid him this year? Because that's sort of what you were trying to do with us on our extension.
Yep.
So, and I don't believe that they are.
Chris?
So when I heard about it on the internets, I immediately thought that it was an attempt to salvage something from what is a badly botched situation with Cousins. I mean, everyone now knows. Now, hindsight's 2020. They should have re-signed Cousins last year, right? They didn't trust it. They wanted to see if he's going to have another year.
But, I wouldn't have.
But now the price tag is higher. Now he's the only quarterback ever, the only player ever to be franchise tag twice
only
in a
quarterback
row, to be franchise tag twice
well,
in a row.
And it should be pointed out, we talked about this Friday, as of Sunday morning, I read, Kirk Cousins has still not signed that franchise tag. Now, until he does, they can rescind it or change it or whatever. Worth pointing out, not that that happens much. Happened to Josh Norman last year to the Redskins' benefit.
So, it seemed to me to say, okay, the Cousins situation is bad. The McLuhan situation seems to be, without question, bad is kind. Okay, he didn't go. That's like saying my grandmother passed away in early October. I'm going to sit out the election. If you're me, right? I mean, that's the equivalent.
He has not been seen. It is said he's working from home.
Isn't this decision to extend Gruden one that he would theoretically be involved in?
You would think.
As the general manager?
So it seems to me you've got two really bad situations, Cousins and McLuhan. And this is an attempt to say, okay, we're going to put Gruden in place. Does it help, to Gary mentioned this, this was my immediate thought, does it help make the case to Cousins between now and whether it's the draft or the deadline is July 15th, right, Gary, that he would have to sign? Does it help make the case your guy is going to be here, the guy who believes in you is going to be here? We know we screwed this up from beginning to end, but I don't think it changes anything because I think Kirk is done. I think he's going to take the money this year and then
just walk away.
See ya.
Michael?
As long as Coach Gruden has figured out how to manage the clock and his timeouts to end each half, I'm okay with this. I do think this is grasping at some sense of stability, and if it enables them to feel like they're closer to getting Kirk to sign, so be it. But I think that ship's already sailed too.
Let me talk about the things that ran through my head, and let me just preface this by saying the most unlucky thing that happened to the Washington Redskins in regards to everything you're seeing now, at the center of which is Kirk Cousins, the most unlucky thing that happened to the Washington Redskins, and they could never have predicted this, was that both Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay, who have worked well with Kirk Cousins, have ended up as head coaches across the country.
Right now, at this
right
point
now.
In time.
Yep. Right now. So that they could not have seen that coming.
Well, in fairness, they 100% saw that Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan would be head coaches in this league, as many did, but that it would coincide.
Now.
Okay, just clarify.
Sean McVay's 20 years old.
Right.
Okay, so that's the one thing that I think.
Oops.
The Redskins say to themselves, "Wow, we're sort of boxed in here." There's only one way to read this. Well, there's offshoots of this. This is the Washington Redskins' attempt to say to Kirk Cousins, a guy who believes in you will be here for the next 4 years.
Yep.
You can sign a 4-year deal. Don't worry about the offensive coordinator because Jay Gruden believes in you.
And
you
succeeded.
Can sign with us because we are guaranteeing you that Jay Gruden will be here, which is as good as going to Sean McVay, as good as going to Kyle Shanahan. And it is.
Yep.
It is. It's every bit as good. So this is not a play for Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden could be if Kirk Cousins leaves, they could fire Jay Gruden in the morning, and it's not going to matter. This is that attempt about Kirk Cousins. There are two things that we don't know. And when I say we, I just mean me in this particular case. Does Kirk Cousins like Scott McLuhan? Does Jay Gruden like Scott McLuhan? Because if the answer to either of those questions is no, Scott McLuhan is now gone. He's irrelevant now because if they don't like him, that has nothing to do with him signing or re-signing. So we need to know the answer to that, which, by the way, is not provided today. It's just not provided. And the second thing you have to know is this. If Bruce Allen and Daniel Snyder are running the Washington Redskins, as we think they are, we don't think Scott McLuhan at the moment is running the Washington Redskins.
He's the general manager. He didn't attend the combine. I mean, I just don't understand how you. They said he'll catch most of it on TV.
That's crazy.
That's basically like
that's
me
crazy.
Watching it. I mean, what?
Totally
what does
crazy.
That mean?
It's crazy.
I just tell the bosses, I'm going to watch the election. I'm good.
That's
I'm going to watch the election from my house.
This is such a surprising thing that they did that it would mean that if the next thing happened, I would no longer be surprised, which is they trade him. They trade Kirk Cousins. Mm. They've signed Jay Gruden. They say, this is your mess. Make it better. And we're getting rid of Kirk Cousins because we don't want to wait a year. We just don't want it. We're going to get as many draft picks as we can get. And I think all of these things are in play. And I think the notion that this, it may give them the patina of stability, but it's not. It's just not. I mean, you think so little of this act that you don't even stand up and announce it? What?
That was weird to me.
Of course it's weird.
Especially because he hasn't, the context and the history,
yeah.
You should want to say, this is a, I mean, they're not going to say this, but in having a press conference, you say, this is a change from what we've done in the past. We believe in this guy.
Here's what the Washington Redskins are at the moment. They're an organization that gets up at 6 in the morning and tweets stuff out. Yeah. And you go, what?
Well,
that doesn't work for
what?
That doesn't work for anyone.
What?
I will say this about the covering of that extension. The Redskins, prior to the combine, essentially told any local covering news outlet that would listen, no one's talking. We're Scott's not going to be here. There's no point in you coming. And a lot of organizations that typically cover them left people back. So this all happened in Indianapolis, and there's like limited people. It's the tree in the forest. But you're right.
It's the father of the bride not going to the wedding.
Yeah. Well,
saying, oh, you know, I got to mow the lawn.
I got a phone call I got to make.
Taking a bath.
See a man about a horse.
All right. Michael Wilbon, when we return, we think. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Indochino ad, and it asked me to talk about how a made-to-measure suit fits compared to a generic off-the-rack suit. I can't make that claim, but Nigel can.
I can indeed, and it's the best-fitting suit I've ever had in my life.
You bought two.
I liked it so much, I immediately bought another one. As Chris likes to say, looks like I was pulled into this.
Really contours to his frame, if you know what I'm saying.
Fantastic. Indochino's making it easy to get a perfectly tailored suit at an incredible price. You can choose from hundreds of top-quality fabrics. You can personalize your suit just the way you want it, whether it's for work, a wedding, or some other special occasion. Indochino has suited up hundreds of thousands of men and are now the largest made-to-measure menswear brand in the world. Here's how it works. You visit a showroom, or more likely, you shop online at Indochino.com. You pick your own fabric. You choose your own customizations from lapels to pleats to jacket linings and more. You submit your measurements. Submit is a tough word there. And you place your order and wait for it to arrive in just a few weeks. This week, listeners to this high-quality podcast can get any premium Indochino suit for just $389 at Indochino.com when entering Tony K at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Plus, the shipping is free. That is Indochino.com. Indochino, Indochino.com. The promo code is Tony K for any premium suit for just $389 in free shipping. It's an incredible deal for a suit that will fit you better than anything off the rack ever could. And I am tempted. I myself am tempted to do this.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent in by Chris Monty in Toronto, Ontario, who writes, I'm a little from Toronto. I think a song by my niece's boyfriend's band would be a great fit for the show. Jaunt, J-A-U-N-T, is a local up-and-coming indie band, and this is their song, Hello. You also have a Bandcamp page, which is Chat by Jaunt. This is like modern kind of music, right?
Yeah.
And by modern kind of music, I mean anything that came out.
Post-1965.
Yeah.
What makes it sound modern to you?
It's
not playing on a gramophone.
Yeah, it's just odd.
John Lennon is not singing on it.
Michael Wilbon joins us now, and there's no other way to start. There's just no other way to start except to ask Wilbon, finally, do you finally believe that Northwestern is going to be for the first time ever in the NCAA tournament?
I am told by Joe Lunardi, by Jay Billis, by Jay Williams, and all the people who make a living with bracketology,
right,
and predicting who's going to be in the field of 64, that Northwestern will be, no matter what happens, Thursday night at 9:15 at Verizon Center, will be in the field when it is announced on Sunday, and that is something that I have never had to contemplate.
Okay, so let me ask this again. Let's pretend this is a presidential press conference, and I ask again, do you believe that they're going to be in?
I'm convinced by the people that I talked to. Have told me that they're going to be
many
in.
People Tony, say Northwestern is going to be
Tony Mr. Wilbon is stating what he believes to be the case based on the facts he has been presented
he answered
with.
The question as he understood it at the time so,
depends on what the definition of in is
so you okay rather than you believe you then accept the fact that they're going to be in
I accept the conclusions drawn by yes. my colleagues.
Has to see it to believe it, I guess.
So
in
great.
The bracket world, you know, yeah. that they will be in, that we will be in. I'm pressure-free this Monday morning for the first time in about 3 weeks.
Right.
So clearly I believe what they're telling me. I believe it.
Okay, good. That's good.
And so, and that is regardless of what happens on Thursday night.
Okay, so now they open here. They get a double bye? They get the double bye or single bye?
No, they get a single bye. We had to win yesterday.
To get the double.
To get the double bye, and we lost a one-basket game to...
to the best team in the league.
To the best team in the league, a one-bucket game. And we played well. They played better.
Yeah.
And so I don't have any angst about that. We get one bye, and we play Thursday night against, I think it's the win. I don't know what happened in the Minnesota game. I think we get the winner of Indiana-Rutgers.
Minnesota lost.
Minnesota loses. Minnesota does that affect
Minnesota
you?
Minnesota lost to Wisconsin.
I'll pull it up here. It's confusing with all the byes.
I think we get the winner. I think we get the winner of Indiana-Rutgers.
So you get the late game. This is the late game.
Thursday night, yes.
Are you going to go to that game? You're going to go? Of course you're going to go. And, okay, so you're very excited. You must be very excited about that.
I'm not very excited about that. I'm very excited about Sunday, about seeing, you know, the bracketology show at 6 p.m. that starts. And I'm very excited about the cameras that will all be around Chris Collins and the team.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll be back in Chicago by then unless they were to be in the final on Sunday in Washington. And then they would watch it in Washington, D.C., where I'll be. So I don't know how much chance I have of actually watching with them. But
what do you mean? You're a board of trustee guy. Why can't
I'm going to be in Washington if they're going to be in Chicago?
Okay.
I can't watch with
That's
them.
Right.
So, I'd like to be there. I got a chance. You know, we'd have to beat Maryland in the second round of the tournament. And there are two teams in the league. You know, of the 14 teams, there are 12 we can beat until we struggle with, and that's Purdue and Maryland.
Okay. Just to clarify, Wilbon, it's Rutgers-Ohio State. I think you were saying Rutgers, Indiana. It's Rutgers-Ohio State you will play the winner of.
Okay, all right.
All right, so this is an odd conference this year in the sense that Michigan State and Michigan and Ohio State and Indiana, which are traditionally the best teams, excuse me, in the Big Ten, traditionally, they're all down. They're all down, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So,
yes, they are.
Yeah. So how many teams do you think get in? Six, seven?
You know, we're six, and I think there'll be – it depends, Tony. I mean, you know, we talk about the bubble and how it's a, you know, a low-hanging bubble this year, again, according to our friends from Bracketland. But, you know, Illinois certainly has a chance, and they finished below us in the standings. Michigan, so, I mean, maybe, you know, seven at least.
Yeah.
Even in a year like this where, I mean, could it be eight? I don't know. But, you know, if Illinois wins its opening game of the tournament, and I haven't looked at this morning, I haven't looked at, as you can tell, the pairings yet. But, I mean, Illinois has like 18 or 19 wins. I mean, if they, you know, if they can somehow get a first-round win, I think Illinois has got a shot. So, yeah, I mean, the traditional powers, Ohio State and Indiana, have had a tough go of it. And even Michigan State has had a tough go right through that last-second loss to Maryland on Saturday.
They have.
But you know, I mean, there's a lot of times where the Big Ten comes in with a lot of, you know, slurpage and does nothing. So I kind of like hanging back in the pack right now. We'll see what we do in the tournament.
The team or the league that's got the slurpage is the ACC. The ACC could get 10 teams in. Are you finally – remember, we fought over Syracuse, and I told you when they beat Duke they were in, definitely in. Do you accept that they are in, Syracuse?
Well, they're in now because they won other games. I didn't think they were in when they beat Duke, and neither did their coach. But yeah, Syracuse will be in, and I better not see any 4-12. I don't see any, you know, 5-11 ACC teams in. That's garbage.
Oh, I can't imagine that. Oh no.
Well, apparently some people can imagine. They've been talking about it. You know, when you listen to the people and who's in and who's out and who's on the bubble.
To me, if you're in the ACC and you are a 500 team in league, you deserve to be in.
I'm with that.
500.
I'm with that for the big for the power conferences in most cases.
Yeah, that's 10 teams, by the way. Wake is 9-9, and they're in 10th.
Well, Wake just had Wake beat Louisville. Wake should be in.
You got Georgia Tech at 8-10, right below them, and then it's Clemson, NC State, Pitt. You know, 6-14.
Teams. Look, I'm happy that Wake has won these games and got in because we beat Wake. One of our wins is against Wake Forest this year, so
that's good for you.
I've been rooting for Wake ever since then. Yeah.
So here's my question. Because we all love the actual NCAA tournament, and I think a lot of people love the conference tournaments if you are an alum of one of those schools. I think that increasingly the conference tournaments, the big conference tournaments, they're nice, but they don't really mean anything in terms of the NCAA anymore. Although maybe this year, Mike, maybe they do, because there is no clear-cut favorite, and there appear to most people to be between 8 and 16 teams that could actually win it this year.
Well, and not only that, Tony, again, if you got teams that can play their way in through their conference tournament with a win or two wins, not by the automatic bid, but just by playing well in the first game, they mean a lot. I mean, they mean a lot. And not just small tournaments, which mean everything.
That means everything. Yeah.
But, again, if you're a school like Illinois, I mean, it's a big state schools and big power conferences. Those schools need a win. And some need to, and who knows if you get it, but that to me, I love this week and last week. I love watching those teams scramble, and some teams are scrambling for seeding. You know, it was interesting yesterday, in Evanston here, watching Purdue. What were they going to do? Were they going to play knowing they'd already won the Big Ten? But how were they going to look knowing they could, I don't know, maybe become a 3 seed as opposed to a 4? Like, what's at stake? And I think, is it a little more subtle than who's going to get in? Of course. But I like all those storylines, and they add to a week that people can pay attention to the waste of time, stupid combine if they want. But there's actual stuff out there being played, and I love watching every bit of it.
So let me get to the combine for a second. Because I have a fundamental disagreement with you on the combine, because I do think that if you're going to draft people, seeing them in real life as well as having seen them in games is important. Just to see, for example, over the last 3 months, did so-and-so gain 55 pounds? And is he someone whose character I should doubt? When the kid ran 4.2, that kid became a household name. I mean, surely you think that some of those things have merit in the way that they would have merit in a baseball camp or a basketball camp.
They have merit to the teams. They don't have a damn bit of merit to me. I don't care if he ran 4.24. Can he play?
Well, he's supposedly a good receiver.
He caught 17 touchdowns last year, but he gets hurt a lot.
Had a pretty good quarterback.
So then let's see if he can stay on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, every year I'm told that these things matter, except that the Bears drafted a guy that I'm sure they poked and prodded in the combine. They drafted a kid in the top, I don't know, it seems like he was a top 5 pick, maybe he was 7. They drafted a wide receiver from West Virginia who was supposed to be the next Jerry Rice. He hasn't been on the field.
Yeah, the Redskins have one of them, hadn't been on the field.
Okay, so what the hell? So what did you learn from the combine? What did you, as an observer, learn about that? You learned nothing.
Well, here's what I learned. I learned that the kid who is presumptively the number one overall pick, the kid from Texas A&M.
Miles Garrett.
Who is a defensive pass rusher, had a 41-inch vertical leap.
Wow.
What does that mean?
It means he's an athlete. It has to mean he's an athlete, doesn't it?
You just want to ooh and ah over the shiny cars.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I do.
That's what you, if that thrills you.
I do.
Then you go right ahead. It doesn't, I don't go to the auto show and ooh and ah over the shiny cars. I have no interest in it. None. Zero.
You have a comment on the Redskins out of the blue and for reasons that are sort of vague, extending Jay Gruden with a career under 500 record?
But they were listening to you talk about how he'd never had a coach go 4 years, and so they responded to Tony Kornheiser. How about that?
Yeah, what do you think they mean by that?
Kornheiser effect.
What do you think they mean by that? Why would you do that? I assume it's Kirk Cousins.
You don't want him to be an entirely lame duck, and you recognize that that's the signal you're sending to your entire roster, not to mention your quarterback in limbo. Is that you've got this situation out there where your coach is a lame duck and the quarterback doesn't know where he'll be and you don't know where the important pieces of your franchise are in place or not. You know, the only thing to me, life evolves. You and I, Tony, have done many different things in our careers. One of the things I had to do was pay attention to the Redskins for many years. One of the things I'm relieved to not have to do anymore is pay any in-depth attention to the Redskins.
Okay, so I'll give you something that I know you pay attention to, and that is the Golden State Warriors. And I watched them yesterday. I watched for about 20 minutes, and they struggled against the New York Knicks, who are a terrible team.
They're going to struggle the rest of the time.
They're a terrible team. So I think, and we talked about this on television, I more than you, I won't use the word problem, but I think they've got a circumstance now without Kevin Durant that is chilling for them, and they have to reorient themselves to pretty much what they did last year, except they don't have the same people. They don't have the same depth that they had last year, and I think this is troublesome in a serious way. What do you think?
It's what's troublesome or not troublesome. Either troublesome or complete relief is what happens on the four-week exam of Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the entirety of it.
Can't win without today, him, right?
No.
You agree. Can't.
No,
can't.
They can't be Cleveland without him.
No.
I'm not even sure they could be San Antonio or Houston without
him. I agree. I'm not sure they can.
They become one of four teams out there that has to sweat it. It's very simple. You know, if Durant can be, 75-80% of himself or better, then Golden State, you know, it at least pulls back even with Cleveland. Look, I believe that Cleveland and Golden State were even after the acquisitions of Darren Williams and Andrew Bogut anyway.
I agree with you. And so, Korver. Yeah, the three of them.
Korver had come earlier, yes, of course. But so I believe they were even anyway. And now Cleveland's clearly ahead.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm ready to pronounce San Antonio ahead yet, but we'll see. They're only two games behind them, I think. And Houston's coming. And I don't think there's anybody else that matters. But Golden State, it changed the season. This fluke injury, you know, this freakish thing, big goof falling on Kevin Durant the other night in Washington in the first minute of the game. I'm looking at the court and didn't even see it live. I had to see the replay because I'm sitting right there. But I was looking at something else on the court. Wasn't paying attention to Durant.
I think it's losing a quarterback. I think it's losing Aaron Rodgers. I do.
Well,
I think it's enormous.
It's not quite that. I mean, you've got an MVP. You got a two-time MVP on the court. So the Green Bay Packers don't have that without Aaron Rodgers.
But he had become their best overall player. He did defense.
He was because of defensively what he was doing with block shots and steals and all of that.
Yeah.
He was guarding his position, multiple positions. So they, you know, it injects a storyline that we did not have. But again, what will determine whether or not this is a big deal, little deal, or no deal at all, as you and I often go that route, will be the exam in three more weeks now, 3.5 weeks of Kevin Durant's knee to see whether he's going to, you know, what's next? Is he going to be whole for the playoffs or close to it? If not, you know, they get past the first round and whoever it is. Denver.
Then they can't win.
But the second round becomes interesting because Utah, well, maybe not. I mean, if Utah loses the Clippers, I don't think the Clippers can beat Golden State under any circumstances. But it's injected, Tony, an interest and a curiosity and storyline that we didn't have a week ago.
All right. I'll see you later. Thank you.
All right. Sounds good, Tom.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We will take a break. We will come back. Nigel will do the news when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Postage rates have gone up again. That means trips to the post office are an even bigger hassle. It is so crowded. But thanks to Stamps.com, you don't have to worry about it. Just use Stamps.com to automatically calculate and print the correct amount of postage for every letter or package you send. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. They'll send you a digital scale, which automatically calculates the exact postage. Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. And Stamps.com saves you money. They give you postage discounts you can't get at the post office, including 3 cents off every first-class stamp. Wow. Anything you can do at the post office, you can now do from your desk. You will never have to go to the post office again. And right now, if you use my code TONYK, you get this special offer. You get a 4-week trial, and that includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and then type in Tony K. That is stamps.com. Enter Tony K and sign up today. With stamps.com, you will never have to go to the post office again.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I just like the sound of this already.
Me too. Clapton-esque a little bit.
I'm going to read this letter. I'm a devout little who has been reading and listening to you since I worked as a Capitol Hill legislative aide in 1985. I hail from a little town called Albany, New York, which is a bit east of Binghamton. Yeah, it's about 2.5 hours east. Wednesday, I had the pleasure of driving solo from Albany to Washington, D.C. Upon arriving in the district, I made a quick stop at Calvert Woodley, where a wonderful sales assistant helped me pick out a bottle of Pinot Noir and happily took my photo in front of La Cheeserie, which has to be important on the tourist site.
Oh, yeah. I would think so, yes.
Following that, I headed directly for lunch at Chad's, where I was welcomed and entertained by the fantastic bartender named Beaver. Beaver's been there for 100 years. He was a pleasure. Please don't fire him today. Not going to fire him at all. I also struck up a conversation with a fellow patron who was obviously in the know, as he informed me that Chad's had recently been purchased by 4 new partners, including Tony Kornheiser, Gary Williams, Maury Povich, and some other businessman who has more dough than all other 3 put together.
Socialite.
Yes. That's how we describe him.
He's a businessman.
Linen king.
I then made it over to Georgetown University campus to watch my daughter's Towson University women's lacrosse team dismantle the Lady Hoyas of Georgetown. What the hell is a Hoya?
Eat it, Melissa.
Does that school ever win in anything? I'm writing to request that you adopt the Towson University Lady Tigers as the official women's lacrosse team of the Tony Kornheiser Show. Is that okay here? I don't know.
It depends if Sydney makes the high school team or not, which we find out today.
What's in it for you? How about the undying respect, gratitude, and devotion of 35 college girls, their coaches, and parents? In other words, bupkis. In addition, I've attached an MP3 file from my other daughter's debut EP, which can be played whenever any team from Georgetown happens to win a sporting contest. It is appropriately called I'm Lucky. Michael, if people want to send in their stuff, how do they do it?
They can send it to jingles at tonykornheiser.com.
That was a great
offer. The
girl
singing is Emma Torrencello.
That song.
I hope I pronounced that correctly.
It sounds like he really supports his daughter.
She was 16 when she recorded that.
Pretty good.
Song was terrible.
Yeah, because of your Georgetown.
What's this person's name?
She was 16, huh?
Yes. Pete Torrencello. You're not welcome here.
All right.
You're
Nigel has news.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. And how about that Peter Bogdanovich? For the Washington Wizards.
I think that's his first name. I'm pretty sure it is.
I'm pretty sure it's
half
Peter.
Of the killer bees, as Spike continues to call them, Bradley Beal and Bojan Bogdanovic.
8 3-pointers yesterday in the Wizards.
Yeah, but
he shot five in the fourth quarter.
He shot 10, though.
That's right.
Anyone can make 8 of 10.
He missed 2.
We're not going to dwell on the Wizards a lot, but I'm going to say this about Bogdanovic. In the last 3 games, when the Wizards beat Toronto in Toronto, he had 27 points in 25 minutes. When they lost in Washington to Toronto, he didn't have much. Last night, he had 27 again, including 5 threes, 5 for 5 in the fourth quarter. He gives them a chance. That guy. Kelly Oubre, see you around. That guy gives them a chance in every game that he shoots well.
And also, I would say Beal is on a heater. I mean, Beal is 32 and
he's stayed healthy.
Great.
Yes. He's been healthy. He's been terrific.
Okay. Mirror image on the defense that he has on the offense, Bogdanovic.
But
who cares?
No,
when he's
it's
in
not
like
wise
that.
There. Yeah. It's not wise there.
Scott Brooks had a great quote about the game. He said, "We played defense for one possession." This is 115-114. Orlando is not
one
good.
One important possession, though.
Stopped him on that one. Guy missed the last shot.
Dustin Johnson, a winner at the Mexico Championship. That's his first defense of the number one position in the world.
He's been number one for 2 weeks. He's won 2 tournaments.
Yeah. Yes.
What more can you ask?
Not
the last
much.
Guy who would do that was Tiger.
Does that help him hang on to the number one ranking when
yes,
you
I
win
think,
a tournament?
I'll have to check the
is he
behind
still
the
number
how they do the math
yes.
on
is
that.
Is he still number
it's
one?
Like QBR.
Yes, still number
so
one.
So I watched
still
a lot of that tournament.
The one.
Mickelson and McIlroy. Mickelson had a fantastic back nine on Saturday in which he hit no fairways.
A lot of free
and
drops.
And no greens in regulation. And still managed to shoot 68 for the round,
wow.
Which was amazing. Chipped in 2 or 3 times. So they put up no challenge for him yesterday. John Rahm.
John Rahm did.
He did, and then he fell back on 16 and 17 or 17.
He started to make a push in the early part of the back nine, which is what he did at Torrey Pines about a month, a little over a month ago.
He's like 22, John Rahm.
Yep.
Big. He's a big boy, John.
Surprising is Dustin Johnson is now an older guy on tour. This was his 14th win, and he is the third guy in the last 30 seasons to get to 14 wins before 33. Other two guys, Tiger, Phil.
It's pretty good company.
Second winningest WGC of all time. He's won four now.
Here's what I would advise you, though. When he's being interviewed, just turn the channel.
Yeah, he's good at golf. You don't get everything. He's
Harrison Ford situation.
failing WGC, not at Trump National. Sad.
What's surprising is this golf course did not suit him at all. This really takes driver out of his hands. He had to hit a lot of 4-irons, 3-irons off the tees. This is a second-shot golf course into some really tricky greens. He was leading the field strokes gained in proximity to the hole, and he was also doing very well, making half of his putts in the 10 to 20-foot range. And he was near the bottom of the field, putts inside of 10 feet.
Yeah, he doesn't putt well.
No one ever wins by being near the bottom of the field, putts inside 10 feet.
And he wins, which is amazing because he's so close to it that even if he putts badly, he can still win.
Gifted in other ways, reportedly.
Danny Willett finished DFL in this tournament.
I remember him.
Danny Willett won the Masters last year.
What happened to his brother?
He finished last. He was plus 11. He got $45,000. On the women's side, a woman named So-Yeon Kim finished tied sixth, got $41,000.
Yep.
That's the difference.
Yeah, sure.
The difference is the women's purse is $1.5 million total, and the men's is $9.5 million.
What did DJ win for that?
It's the audience. DJ is won the difference.
$1.5 million or something?
Million plus. What else you got, Nigel?
Not good times for Trent Murphy of the Washington Redskins, facing a four-game suspension for violating the NFL's policy on performance-enhancing drugs. He's currently appealing this, but if upheld, he will miss the first four games of the 2017 season, which obviously is going to be very exciting because I don't know if you'd heard, the Redskins just signed Jay Gruden to an extension.
Right?
Yes.
Dustin Johnson made $1.6 million.
Whoa.
$1.6 million.
Nice weekend.
$1.660 million.
Yeah, very nice
weekend.
What else you got? I mean, look, the guy,
Trent Murphy,
he took the drugs. I mean,
take the drugs.
They never win on appeal in the NFL.
He had a very good year last year.
Yeah.
Very good year.
If you can't do the time, don't do the crime. Yeah. Right?
He did, you know, took the drugs.
There's an interesting experiment going on at the K through 5th grade Orchard School in Vermont. This is a public elementary school, about 400 kids there. And they're getting a lot of complaints about homework. And they said, well, should we actually continue to do homework? And they put out a vote and said, you know what? Actually, we're not going to do homework.
There's no homework in this school.
There's no homework.
It's an elementary school.
Got to go read a book. Now, we're not going to have you fill out a log and say what you read and when you read it, but we want you to...
Honor system.
Yeah. Read something every night with your parents.
And talk to your parents.
And talk to your parents.
That works
for kids. Have dinner. In fact, yeah, there's a list of what they had to do. Read just right books every night. Go outside and play. That does not mean more screen time. Eat dinner with your family and get a good night's sleep. You think, well, it would just be utter chaos. But
go back to Russia.
But apparently, everybody's grades have gone up. And the
How do you have grades?
Well, they test them in school. They just don't have homework that they grade them on.
We have a teacher here. And we turn to the teacher here and say, do you think that this is a good idea? It's an elementary school now. It's not a high school.
I do think this is a good idea. Homework, for the most part, is actually just busy work, chores that's actually going to tax the family versus help the student learn. I'd be more concerned with test time and overall learning time in the classroom than what's happening outside, because I want to make sure that they are being educated in other ways. And a lot of that is learning interpersonal skills from being with friends, by interacting with parents, by having those conversations at the dinner table, not filling out a math worksheet where your parents is half a glance away helping with it.
Dissenting opinion. No benefit from the practice standpoint? I mean, isn't it like shooting free throws and practicing your ball handling? I mean, you're taught something in the classroom. Go home, spend 10, 15 minutes, work on it a little bit, sharpen the skills, keep it fresh.
I think that definitely plays into it, but more often than not, a lot of these skills are such that they're not actually activating what the student needs to learn going forward.
So
it is outside of the zone of proximal development, so they're actually just doing something they already know how to do well.
Busy work.
And so at that point, it's just the repetition is turning them away from learning and what they should be excited for in the classroom.
Do you think that if you and your sister had had the same opportunity and were forced to eat with your parents every single night, it would have been a good or a bad outcome?
Or that.
That's a tough question. Yeah. I wonder where I would be now if I had that type of learning. But if I look back on my childhood, my learning came from being able to read at night. I was allowed to read as long as I wanted to, and I didn't stay up late. But I was encouraged to read.
Yes.
And I was encouraged to go out into the neighborhood. So getting on my bike, and getting on my rollerblades. Well, yes.
Of course. Yes.
Go get daddy a peg of smokes.
Oh, yeah.
Got to earn, right?
Remember, it's the blue label. There's a gold and a black and a red. I want the blue label.
You have an announcement you want to make relative to the show.
Oh, yes. We are very happy to announce that we have a partnership going forward with the Johnny O. So you may remember this from back in October. We gave you guys
a trial promo code.
Activate your tweener. Yeah.
And we've been talking with them over the last few months. So this is going to be a little bit more informal than some of our other partnerships. So you should look out for this on social, on our website, on the show. We want to bring this to you in a way that meets you as a consumer. So we don't want this just to be a time-stamped ad. We want this to enter other spheres of your engagement with the show. So currently, there is a Tony K promo code. I believe it gets you 25% off.
Nice.
And that link is on our Twitter.
Yep.
I'm going to share an announcement on the website and through my personal Twitter this afternoon. And just share your photos with us. Share your stories about the clothing and the lifestyle. And we'll keep you posted. We're going to try and bring new promos and new items that are going to meet you during the sports calendar and other big events.
And just excellent. So you know, Michael and I were in the wild. Michael helped me get my golf clubs regripped. And we both, at random, not planned, had our Johnny O on. Because we're believers. Like, I wore my stuff over the weekend.
I saw some Johnny O in the wild this weekend at a Mardi Gras party.
By the way, there was no homework at Ball So Hard University.
Gave him the TK salute. Didn't really translate. He was a stranger. I gave him the TK salute. I just figured he's wearing Johnny O. Sure.
Yeah, he should have known. Yeah.
So, one final thing.
It's a good story.
We've all heard about the old 96er.
Of course. Got to eat the fat and grizzle.
Got to eat the whole thing.
The 96-ounce steak. You know, you've heard about these challenges. You go to a steakhouse.
Don Shula had one of those. The Don Shula steakhouse. Yeah.
That was from The Great Outdoors.
Yeah, The Great Outdoors.
You got to sit like on a stage and eat it.
And you sit on a stage and try and eat it in about a time limit. And if you eat the whole
thing,
you get like a T-shirt and like
picture on the wall.
You know, hey, look at this fat load. He just ate
96er.
Look at this pig.
Well, it sounds like something Saliza would have done in college.
I would have loved to do that.
Paired with some milk.
You usually, by the way, just sidebar, I spent a lot of time researching this. You usually also have to eat the potato, the baked
eating
potato.
Challenge. Yeah,
whole with plate. That's what
with
gets
the
you.
Fixins.
Loaded.
You can't curious. Just eat the old 96.
Butter. How many, not even like a pat of butter, but the ball, like the ice cream scoop of butter.
Yeah.
How many bananas could you eat in an hour, do you think?
8 to 10.
8 to 10?
They have a thing of the Vermonster. We've talked about this before. At Ben & Jerry's, they have a Vermonster. You got to eat all 36 scoops with 36. So they have 36 flavors. You got to eat all the flavors in one thing with all the toppings. The problem there is you got to do it in an hour, but even within an hour, there's a lot of melting that goes on. So you're just eating soup towards the end.
It's disgusting.
Brutal.
It's like, disgusting beyond words.
Dad would need that in separate containers.
Yes.
My cousin Marilyn would buy... Go to Baskin Robbins, and she'd have them just layer. It was just disgusting. It's awful beyond words.
You may want to consider this at the restaurant soon to be formerly known as Chad's. The George Pub and Grill in County Durham, in my home country, England, Northern England, they now have a steak that is 220 ounces.
Why?
220
Why?
Ounces.
Why do they have that?
Because they
that's
have
for the entire troop?
Well, they
that's as big as a
the
table.
The challenge is for
it's
four
a 15
people.
15-pounder or something.
Four people, if you can eat the entire thing in 45 minutes, you get, let's see, what do you get? You get
3 years taken off your life.
That'll need a lot of ketchup.
Yes, and by the way, you have to order it 24 hours in advance.
Very well done.
Oh, yeah. You got to kill three cows.
It takes 2 hours to cook it.
Got to kill the horse.
You get a certificate. A Facebook legend alert, which I know is very
FB legend alert,
and a George Pub and Grill Champions hoodie. And if you know for some reason you have to go to the hospital, they will cover the ride to the hospital for you.
The ride.
What if you expire?
Bring
will
Ed
they cover funeral
with them
costs?
To serenade you.
By the way, this is. Can you take a look at that, Chris?
Oh my God!
So we're not doing the
there's
we're not doing the local
rings.
Anchor
there's
store.
Onion rings.
Oh,
we decided not to do the local anchor.
We can go as long as you want. It's a podcast.
Yeah, no one's turning us off.
There was a WJLA anchor who Well, let's just say she allegedly had too much to drink at a bar in Clarendon.
Is it alleged?
Well, I'm saying alleged because I don't
want to
be
sued.
Right. And Whitlow's on Willow. She was told to leave.
Wow.
And they said, if you come back, apparently she was creating some and I don't have a name right in front of me. It's Autry or something?
I don't know her name.
Yes. So, can you look this up?
No.
It's in the paper today. Just keep her name out of it.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll keep her name out of it. An unnamed.
And she was asked to leave, and she did. And they said, now, if you come back, you're going to be arrested for trespassing. So about an hour later, this is about 1:30.
They always come back.
30 in the morning.
Why?
On Saturday.
Why? Because
she decided to come back and to get the final word in. And they said, well, now we've got to call the police. And
you think of a good joke that you really want to make sure you tell.
She was arrested for trespassing and drunk in public.
Yes.
That can't help your career.
I can't think
help
that
your
it
career.
Would.
Look, baby girl.
If they give you a chance to go away.
Right.
Go take the lifeline. Go away. Right. If you need to come back, send someone else.
They do don't always come back, though. I don't know why.
At some point, I think alcohol got in the way of reason on this and said, no, you know what? Don't. I just want to say one more thing.
Jerk store called.
You know, all
right. Running out of good. You.
Exactly. All right, we'll get out of here. we will come back with Old Guy Radio. We have not forgotten the mad tweeting of the President of the United States, and we will talk about that, among other things, when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day is I Hear a Symphony. This is my favorite Supreme song. I like this the most. Mary Wilson, one of the backup singers to Diana Ross, is 73 years old today. I think what I like so much about the song is the sort of inherent irony of the fact that they have no idea what a symphony is. None of the people singing this song have ever sat and listened to a symphony. They're rock and roll singers. They are great singers. It became fashionable in the 1970s and 80s for people to make fun of Diana Ross. You people are nuts. She was great. That group was great. She was in the lead because she could sell it better than the other three different people who did it. And when Jeannie Terrell took over for Diana Ross, you know, they Danny Willett. They went down to the bottom of the chart.
There's a reason she's Diana Ross.
Yeah, she's a great, great performer. And even though she nor I listened to symphonies as a child.
Now get off my lawn.
I love that song.
12 number one hits the Supremes had.
It's not bad.
They could have had 50. They could have had 50. All right. So there's a lot of things to talk about. Michael played in a member guest with his father-in-law, Chan Hardwick, and I want to hear about that. Everybody who is sitting in the Washington, D.C. or North area today knows how cold it was on the weekend. I played golf yesterday. I shot about 130.
That
didn't
is
matter.
Nuts.
I went
it
out
was
there.
Freezing.
I could
literally.
Not
did you have
stay.
Gloves on?
Yes, I could not stay another moment in my house. I just could not.
Well, it's been cold in the cart.
I had to get
out. What was going on there?
Coming up next on the Hallmark
Channel. I just couldn't. Enough was enough. The dog, the house, was just enough. I had to get out. So I mean,
there's
on,
other things
I put
you
on
could
layers.
Do.
No.
Counting?
Nothing else.
Counting didn't
I
work?
Counted.
Yeah. Shopping?
I counted. Shopping?
Could always
enough.
Get a new
sweater. Could have gone to the club and just drank.
No. I put on Under Armour bottoms and Under Armour tops and two other
still
tops.
Too cold.
And I went out there and I played. And I was dreadful.
On the course to yourself?
No. I played in a fivesome because four guys were going to play. And I just said, could I join you? Because it's
But no one in front or behind you.
No, we never. Well, there were some people. You would have been surprised in the afternoon.
God, it was
how
cold,
many people
man.
Went out there
I
as
saw
twosomes?
People, my
went,
son
it
plays
was like
near
41
Westwood.
Degrees when I was
there were people
done.
Out
it was
there.
Okay.
Yeah, there. My
started
son plays soccer by Westwood in Vienna, that club. And there were like three or four foursomes that I saw out there, which I was stunned
I thought,
by.
Tony, normally isn't the cutoff for you like 48 and no wind or something?
45 and no 45. Wind.
It used to be, but now it's going
I had
lower.
To get out. I could not. So what did you do? How did you do?
So I played in a member guest at Chichesse Creek Club in Okotie, South Carolina. With
our
my
dog
father-in-law.
Is named for this club.
And this club is a wonderful golf course. The staff there is so hospitable and always welcoming of us. This was a 5 9-hole matches. So you always feel like you are in the overall tournament because you can get on a run. And my father-in-law, Chan, and I got off to a slow start, but we turned it on in the third round, and we actually had a chance. We played the overall winner in the final match and won the first three holes, but could not quite catch up to their big lead. And my 1-under on that 9 did not stand up, but good time had by all.
Who was one of the members in the overall?
So it's never good when everyone in your flight, when you're shaking hands and doing the whole, like, hey, where are you from? What do you do? Who's the member? All that. They start referencing this one group, and you see the group from a distance, and you notice, huh, he's one of those guys is pretty tall, and he's got pretty wide shoulders. No. And you meet him, and you realize he's a former NFL All-Star.
I think he made the Pro Bowl a couple of times.
Pro Bowl, correct. Yes.
Keith Brookings.
Keith Brookings, linebacker, played for the Falcons for a number of years.
First-round pick.
So I'm sitting there on the first D of our final match trying to pick up ground, saying to myself, yeah, Ivy League college golfer, you got this. Come on, man. And I'm even par with a couple of really good up and downs through the first four or five holes, but he's a professional athlete who is getting strokes and is a confident.
He's getting 8 strokes off you.
So he's only getting 4 for that 9.
Okay.
But that hurts me because it's the last 2 holes, and he is an athlete, so he hits it far, and he knows how to position himself to score.
He knows how to close.
It doesn't matter.
They all know how to close.
Right. This is like when you play with Gary Williams. He knows how to finish, and so we get to the 7th
hole. Ron Jaworski. I could be even with Ron Jaworski, and then on the back 9, I'm down 9.
They're professional.
He's a pro.
They're athletes for a living.
That's what
I mean,
they
know. It's a big difference.
They don't get
nervous.
So
this is to that point, this is the signature hole. It's a very tricky 165-yard par 3. The tidal river is to your left. It is a 2-part green with a huge false front, really fast greens.
There's a house right behind.
He's about 50 feet away above the hole. I'm thinking to myself, all right, Michael, you can make your birdie putt. There's no chance he's going to make his. Probably he's going to make a 4. And he drains a 50-footer,
boom,
drip speed dead in the center. Goes to the 8th hole. I have to cut an 8-iron out of a bunker to try and set up a par.
Which Dustin Johnson did on 18 yesterday.
Right. He makes a up and down from 40 yards, a pro up and down, nice trajectory, good spin. And you just say, congratulations, good match.
Shake hands.
Yeah.
Had a good time?
Had a great time. It was nice to get down there. We had great weather. A little chilly in the mornings, but perfect sun.
How chilly would be a little chilly to you?
Oh, you know,
how about 18 yesterday morning?
18 off in the mid-50s.
Oh, okay.
But with wind.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
So 5-time Pro Bowler and Super Bowl participant, now second paragraph of Brookings. What's it called?
5-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Resume,
thank you.
5-time Pro Bowler.
Obit.
The real story was we had a Loyal Little went up to the official scoreboard and put a La Cheesery tag under my name.
I saw that.
John Engelbrecht from Milwaukee. And I also saw another Loyal Little who was not playing, Jim Hughes, who was a brewer out there.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I don't really have anything to add that is any better than that, so I'm going to shift gears here. I could tell the story.
What'd you shoot yesterday?
130.
Got 130.
130.
That's not bad. I can't believe you played 18.
Total shankopotamus.
But why
couldn't get anything in the air.
Feel good, though?
I was like,
feel as good as a 130
man,
can
Michigan
feel?
Man. Yeah. I felt great.
Pretty good. Just getting out.
I would have gone out. I'd have played 9 more if I could have.
That's an 85 when you adjust for the weather.
Yeah, I could have. I enjoyed it enormously. So I will tell this one story, and then I'll get to Chris. I went last week to Chad's, however, briefly, and I sat in a back area, and I just sat by myself, and I was preparing to do the radio for the next day. And these two guys come in, and this is in the sort of the atrium part where the studio is going to be. And I'm in the back of the room, and one guy is really loud and obnoxiously loud. Like, you could hear him all over the restaurant, and he felt that he had a lot to say about a lot of different things. And he's the kind of guy that if I owned the restaurant, I would have just thrown a 50 down on the table and said, get out of here. You're just too obnoxious. I don't want you here. Anyway, so he's talking to his friend, loudly screaming, you better enjoy this now. You better enjoy this now because you're not going to be able to sit here anymore. I look up at this. Yeah, there's some radio guy, some sports guy making it into, what is a podcast? Making it into a podcast studio. This is the last meal we're going to have here. So you better enjoy it now. Who's this guy?
Definition of a hot take, this guy here.
So I didn't say anything. I should have said something. What I wanted to say, I wanted to call the police, but I didn't. Anyway, we're glad that Chris is here because if you didn't know, I'm sure you did know, yesterday the news was that the current president, Donald Trump, has accused the most recent previous president, Barack Obama, of tapping his phones during the election campaign at Trump Tower. Tapping his phones. This has been widely by people like James Comey, who's the head of the FBI, and Mr. Clapper, who ran national security for Obama. It's not true. It's completely not true. There appears to be no particular evidence for this. And yet, as always happens, Trump sends out surrogates who say something like this. Well, he believes this to be true. That's what he says. Well, he believes this to be true. Chris, where are we with this?
Well, let me ask you, do you know that Obama didn't wiretap Trump?
Don't know that.
So you're saying it could be true then?
There's a chance. I'm saying there's a chance.
Yeah, I mean, so on Saturday morning, this was a pleasant way to spend my Saturday morning. I had plans to, you know, like install a fire extinguisher in our house and do some other things. And at 8:30, yeah, I installed my what? This is the Manchester by the Sea effect. My wife went out and bought 6 fire extinguishers.
Oh my God! One for every bathroom.
We got one
bathroom?
In basically every.
We don't have to install them.
You just place them.
No. We got the heavy one that you got to mount. I had to mount it.
Wow, getting into drywall.
Yeah, it's in the studs.
You did this on your own?
I did.
You have this talent?
I have a stud finder. Yep. Me.
You have and, this talent,
and you run it along the wall, and it's like boop boop.
Yeah,
boop.
I know how a stud finder works. Yeah.
Well, I was explaining for Tony. I had to put it in and hang it. Anyway, that was my plan because my wife is now petrified that we're going to go down in an inferno.
God, that's a lot of extinguishers.
He's now looking for drywall patch kits.
For a mere 10,000 square foot house, that is
exactly.
A lot of extinguishers.
Well, 10,000 is the lower level. Yeah. And so anyway, I was planning to do that. I eventually did get to it, but he tweets at 8:30 in the morning that Obama, he just learned that Obama wiretapped him in Trump Tower.
Tap into America.
And by the way, he spelled tap, T-A-P-P.
Yeah, right.
The extra P is for, I don't know. And then
preposterous.
And then it relatively quickly, but then he went and played golf. So he didn't
Good
say
for
any,
him.
He didn't say anything else. He was at Mar-a-Lago.
I would have done the same thing.
He'd get probably, a few tweets
out
early.
Let me fire this. No, I'd have sent a text. Send a text to someone and then teed off.
And then the White House didn't say anything for like 12 hours. So it was just kind of hanging out there. So Obama's spokesperson put out a statement essentially saying like we didn't do this. And then the response from the White House has been, well, we should have an investigation to see if this happened. But of course, again, I mean, just to be clear, he said that he knew it happened.
Yes.
Had evidence.
And there's no evidence provided. I mean, this is – and so if you want to find the genesis of this, it appears to be Mark Levin, who is a conservative talk radio show host. Mark Levin has said that there was a silent coup – those are his words – silent coup during the election aimed by Obama at keeping Trump out of the White House. It includes a number of things, including this wiretapping. Breitbart, which is the Steve Bannon's – he was the CEO of before going to the White House. Breitbart wrote a story on Friday about this Mark Levin thing. Mark Levin has said he has no proof of this. And that article was being passed around the White House on Friday. And Trump is very annoyed. Trump is very angry lately, particularly on Friday and Saturday because of Jeff Sessions, the attorney general's decision to recuse himself from any investigations about the 2016 election. Trump on the record said he didn't need to do that. And then Sessions went and
four
did it.
4 hours
anyway.
Later.
Sessions went and did it anyway. So he's not in a good mood. He gets on the plane to Mar-a-Lago, and I think he's annoyed. He has this article. He reads this article, and whammo, Saturday morning, wiretapping. Now, again,
yeah, that's the ticket.
The explanation, as you note, Tony, and this is amazing to me, is that Trump firmly believes that this could have happened.
He firmly believes that an X amount of people who should not have been allowed to vote voted and cost him 3 different states.
He firmly believes that. Ted Cruz's father was involved in JFK's assassination. Yes. He firmly believes there were Muslims celebrating on the roof after September 11th.
Can you prove they weren't?
And that's basically what he uses as proof, which is the you can't say that they didn't do it.
This is how magicians do the card tricks.
Right, misdirection.
Yeah, this is what happens.
Well, nothing to the Russia stuff.
He did that himself.
Look at this. He had this flaming turd pile.
He had 3 tweets about being the phones being tapped and all that. And then the next tweet was... Yep. Wow, Arnold Schwarzenegger out.
That's right.
He didn't quit. Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger reported to have quit, but he did not quit because his ratings were terrible.
Failing Arnold Schwarzenegger sad.
It's through the looking glass stuff. I mean, there's even whether you like him or you don't like him, we've not ever seen anything like this ever before.
It's fun, though, every day, isn't it? Except if you have to put in.
It's certainly interesting. I mean, look, at
some point might get dangerous.
Everybody I see is like, man, your job must be interesting. And it is. I mean, it is an interesting thing. What is difficult is the second he says the thing about wiretapping, 40-ish% of Americans believe him, regardless of whether there's any evidence provided. I got tons of emails. Because I said, like, this guy's candidacy was born from a conspiracy theory. The reason that Donald Trump was relevant in the Republican Party is because he seized on the birther thing, that Obama was not born in this country in about 2011, though it had been percolating, but 2011, and pushed it into the mainstream. That was a conspiracy theory. Breaking news, Barack Obama was born in the United States. So the fact that he is willing to engage with conspiracy theories, and we've run through a few of them, right? This is something he is willing to do. He went on Alex Jones's show. Alex Jones, who runs InfoWars, who has all these theories about lots of things.
Yeah.
He's willing to engage them at a level that no past president would do. So it should not be shocking to us that someone who the birth of his candidacy was in seizing on a conspiracy theory that debunked, that he is willing to engage in conspiratorial thinking should not come out of nowhere.
So meanwhile, people in his administration, including his vice president, have to basically go around the next day and say, "Well, it's all right. We're okay with this.
Everything's good.
Yeah, it's all right. We believe in all the regular stuff. Don't worry." That's what it says every day.
The sort of circular nature of it is the White House says, well, the president firmly believes this. And to Chris's point, then 40% of the American public believe it because he believes it. And then later, he'll cite as evidence that a large portion of the American public believe this to be true.
That's right. It's a virtuous, a virtuous circle for him. He can say anything that is about the sort of this broad conspiracy. Remember, a conspiracy theorists have a totally succinct worldview because if you don't believe them, well, of course you don't because you're in on it, right? I mean, there's no it really is a virtuous circle in that regard. So,
well, you haven't been up to Trump Towers to self-investigate, have you?
And this is the problem. I mean, we've talked about this many times, the whole Comet Pizza thing. This theory that were running a ring.
Just so we point out what's important about this. If this were true.
I mean, it's more problematic for him.
If this were true and if the administration were able to get a judge to allow this to be done, it would be because there is probable cause of espionage on the part of Donald Trump and or his people. Probable cause, or they wouldn't do it.
That's almost worse if it were true.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
It's more problematic for him if it's true, no question.
Are we okay?
Yeah.
So we will come back. Did you have anything else? No, anybody? All right, so we will come back with a jingle? What are you handing me?
Just so you can see the title of it.
Chuck Bell's out in the street. Chuck Bell is, and this is a fact, Chuck Bell was announced today when I was watching, when Sheena Parveen was doing the news, the weather solo, that Chuck Bell was on vacation.
Vacation.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
She works 5 days a week now. Her sudden rise comes as no shock. More viewers means more money. She's the new girl, buy her stock. In DC, she calls rain or shine. She's already got the Today Show on her mind. The whole Storm team knows Chuck Bell's on the street. He's out, he better pack warm clothes. Chuck Bell's out on the street. Oh. That's him there on the cold sidewalk. Chuck Bell's out on the street. Trying so hard to get passes by to talk. She is here about a week. Kick Chuck out on the street.
This is really good by John Fitzpatrick. It expresses how we all believe this is going to play out. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Michael Wilbon for coming on with us. I'd also like to thank our sponsors today, Indochino and Stamps.com. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. This is from Jack Selby, a longtime emailer in Falls Church, Virginia, who writes, on Friday, I was helping run the VIP check-in line for the grand opening of a new Lucky Strike bowling alley that the company I interned for, BWF Communications, helped organize and put together. One of the names that came up during the night was Poland. I looked up and asked him, "The Andy Poland?" I told him I was a huge fan of the show and subsequently congratulated him on a terrific career at a certain station two doors down from a diamond importer, and best of luck in the future. The one question I neglected to ask him, however, was whether the Army versus Navy jacket he was sporting was part of the self-imposed $200 he allocates for new clothes annually.
No question.
Or whether that was already comped for him. Of course it was comped.
Yes.
There's no chance.
Andy Poland, come on.
There's no chance. From Bill Feeney in Cape Coral, Florida, please let Saliza know that FGCU again qualified for March Madness.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Yeah,
Dunk City.
From Jason Greenwald in Livingston, Montana, Shattenkirk, the pleasure derived by someone from another team's mismanagement of the franchise tag. That's a very good idea, Shattenkirk, not Schadenfreude. From Chris McFarlane in Orangeville, Ontario, I have a suggestion for the Confederate soldier statue. Why not just replace the head with a picture of a potato? That's exactly what
That's
I would have
exactly
done.
That's exactly what
they should
have done.
And from Chad Backman in Princeton, New Jersey, I have an idea of what to do with the 8 million pound statue of the Confederate soldier. Replace the head with London Fletcher's head and stick it in front of FedEx Field.
That would solve some problems.
Mike from Burke, Virginia, with regard to the next man up Biden family drama, and I really like that characterization. Next man up, I had to laugh. In my family, my maternal parents moved from Scotland to Cincinnati in the 30s, and my mother was then born in Ohio. My grandfather died of pneumonia shortly after my mother's birth, as happened in those days. My grandmother, a woman with a small child and no family in a strange land, went back to her family in Scotland, where eventually she married her late husband's brother, and they were married for many, many years after that. And then my mother re-emigrated to the colonies in the 50s, eventually leading to me. Still, you could see some awkward Thanksgiving for the Bidens.
That plot thickened, too, since we last discussed it.
Yes, it did.
Yeah,
in a bad... In
I mean, it's just going downhill.
Yeah, yeah. It's sad.
Again,
not hashtag
failing.
Sad. Legitimately
actually,
no,
it's
sad.
Actually sad. Yes. It's actually sad. From Rory in Cleveland. Last weekend, my fiance Amanda told me we're going to see a friend of hers from high school living in London who was in town for a wedding. I wasn't thrilled, but her friend Ross Goffey turned out to be a nice guy and a good time. Fast forward to this week. Amanda gets a text from Ross. The text reads, "Is Rory's last name O'Neill? Ask him if he listens to the podcast. We're littles." Texts were sent back and forth with lecheeseries, middle fingers, stickers, but the pièce de résistance was when he referred to this as his David Aldridge moment. Wow, I'm so honored. Thank you again for helping make another connection that more meaningful. From David Lombardo in Saratoga Springs, New York. At work during a slow day this week, my colleague was watching a golf tournament on his computer. As I passed through his office, there was a reference to Jordan Spieth, and I announced Balding Jordan Spieth. This quickly led me to his Google machine, where I played him the jingle that came to mind. I've now played two jingles for my coworker, with the first being Trots, 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 after he mentioned something about hockey. I think I just need one more relevant jingle to get him hooked. Can one of the prolific jinglers craft something about boats, cliff bars, or New York State's government so he has a third tie into the show? I will hang up and listen. From Aaron Alvis, and this is from Michael, so we can read it. I wanted to share with you that I set up a free fantasy baseball league on ESPN in honor of the show and those of us who follow it, called the Avocado League after the infamous Tim Kirchhoff. I wanted to use something with Barry, but Sverluga is a tough one to work with. I also considered the Orchid League, but being a fan of the Nats, I'm naively hopeful those days just might be over. I do not care if this is read on the air. I'm not trying to get attention. I just would enjoy playing in a league of like-minded fans of the show instead of a group of complete strangers. If there is a platform to spread the word, message board, or tweet, if you think it has merit, I leave that to you.
This is the platform.
Thank you for all you do. I very much enjoy what you bring to the latest version of the show. Go Nats. So you can go to ESPN, to the Avocado League?
I believe so. You can search it.
That's wonderful. From Samir in Elkridge, Maryland. On Thursday's show, Mr. Tony said that the Wizards always beat Toronto. This is pretty much true, except for the fact that the Wizards have lost their last eight regular season games.
Well, I mean, you're nitpicking there.
It's pretty much true, though, isn't it?
Yes.
They beat them the other
Many
night.
Many people say.
Prove that it's not.
If you, well, they actually can. If you're out on your bike, time to everyone, as always, do wear white.
Why do I want to puke?